Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving.
Hi, everybody. Anna and I are just here. I really wanted to Anna to share her story today of part of her journey. It's a journey of adoption, something that ironically resonates with so many of us, whether or not we've been through that process or not. There's something in our hearts that resonates with the sense of coming home, of becoming part of a family. And there's something that resonates also in our heart with that sense of abandonment that so many of us have experienced, whether we've been adopted out or not. So it seems strange to welcome you here today, Anna.
Well, thank you. Yes, thanks.
Reason Anna and I have obviously been talking a whole lot, and part of the reason we want to do this is that we've got a retreat coming up in late September, early October in Austin, Texas.
And September 28th to October 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what Anna said. And where is it, Anna?
It's at Canyon of the Eagles, which is a really nice resort hotel, and they have meeting space. It overlooks a lake. There are walking trails. There's a labyrinth. There's all kinds of stuff to do. There's a restaurant, bonfire, swimming pool. I mean, it's a really amazing and fun place. So I'm really looking forward to people being able to come and just experience that on top of what the retreat is going to be about. So yeah. I'll let you talk about that.
So we're inviting you to a beautiful environment. Well, Anna is. I'm flying in directly from New Zealand for this. I've got a North American tour. It's starting in Austin, Texas with you all and with Anna. And but we wanted to share with you part of Anna and I. Of course, we have our own stories, but we thought it was really important for you to understand some of Anna's stories, because this will inform the weekend, what we do together. And also, you'll be able to see our hearts during that time too, and what God has formed in our hearts and what we want to share. We can only share, as Paul writes, that which is wrought in our hearts. And I'm really excited to hear Anna's story. I know myself, I resonate with it, even though I'm not adopted. But so anything you want to say before we start, Anna? I've got a few questions for you.
Yeah, I think one of the main things on my heart for this retreat and that we've talked about is just that synergy between the father heart and heart healing. And that is so much part of my story. And so I think when you hear some of my story, you're going to realize, oh yeah, that's why that's such a major thing, you know, for me and identity and all of that. So
yeah, that's awesome. So we'll see how that unpacks that, the synergy, as you say, between this heart healing and the love of the Father. And someone once said to me, if heart healing isn't happening, then the love of the Father isn't being preached.
Mm.
Hey, I just had a word for those of you that are wondering what happened to my face here. The World FIFA Women's Soccer Championship is happening here in New Zealand, and I went to a game the other night, and I was rushing for the bus, trying to get out of my car, remembering I got something and I got caught by the edge of the door. So just so we're clear, I haven't been fighting. So you no longer have to wonder. Anna, your story. Anna, you were adopted. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear from talking to you that you always knew you were.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was adopted at birth, and I always knew that I was adopted. So I don't actually know. I don't remember my parents telling me. I just always knew. So they must have told me at a really early age. And they really made it seem like, you know, it's the most wonderful thing in the world, because they handpicked me. You know, they got to choose me as their daughter. And so, and that was one of the reasons really that it was so strange what was going on in the inside for me, because although I had a really wonderful family that I grew up with, on the inside, I just always felt so different. And in any like social setting, school, that kind of thing, I felt like I don't belong. Like everybody else has a place here, but I am an outsider. I shouldn't be here.
And if I could just leap in there, Anna, yeah. This is your story. This is very much your experience. And yet I see, you know, as I've worked with many people, as I think of my own story, you know, there's that sense that I also carried that I feel different than everybody else and that I don't belong here or you know, in my country, is why can't I be like everybody else? Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm more American, you know, like I'm more out there, and in New Zealand, those sort of strong, silent types, and I never got the memo on there. So I think many can identify those feelings, Anna, of not feeling mm-hmm. like they belong, feeling different. Yeah. And not knowing why, but obviously your reasons are more obvious to us.
Right.
But you're talking about those things because obviously you're in a different place now. So, sorry, I did interrupt you, but I thought it was important that everyone else realize this is your story, but it's also about the rest of us. So
Absolutely. So over the years, you know, as I grew up, I learned to just kind of function. Although my inside still felt like, oh, I'm still shouldn't be here. I still don't belong. But I did learn to really function pretty well. So like if you had met me, you wouldn't think, oh, she's so, you know, awkward and shy and that kind of thing. So anyway, yeah. So I just kind of learned to function over the years and just kind of shove those feelings down. But they were really still there. Like those thoughts, I am always going to be rejected. Although it wasn't a conscious thought, it was directing my life and my decisions in certain ways. You know, like, do you want to go join that group? Oh, no, I don't think so. You know, and it was from the thoughts that we think consciously, but those deep down heart feelings.
And I'm glad you talked about those feelings, because I believe that, you know, those feelings and thoughts, hard to know how to describe what they are, but they affect our lives. And what I've observed in life, Anna, what I'm really hearing in your life is that you had thoughts and feelings that were never articulated, never spoken, but in actual fact, they were in control of your actions and reactions.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I can already hear in your voice and in your story that, you know, you've got objectivity around this. You've got perspective on it because your journey has moved you on to be able to see it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I do believe for all of us that those thoughts, feelings, whatever they are, the unspoken things, unseen things, can be in control of us. And coupled with that, of course, you said you had feelings, you clearly didn't know what to do with them, so you shoved them down, I think.
Right.
Yes. Many of us can relate to that.
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, Anna, you were talking about shoving feelings down, about having these unconscious thoughts that were affecting what groups you joined and...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that was even into adulthood. I still had those feelings. I did early in my 20s, when I had really began to really walk with the Lord in a close way, I had come across the scripture, Psalm 27:10, you know, even if your mother and father abandon you, I will take you up and as my own. So that had really ministered to my heart. But for a long time, I still saw God as kind of distant and, a nice, benevolent God, but at a distance. You know, he's God Almighty, that kind of thing. Mm. So, so it wasn't until later... Yeah. When I was actually in my late 30s, before I really encountered the love of God as Father. And it was the beginning of a huge change in my life and in my heart and the way that I thought about myself and the way that I thought about God also.
Awesome. So, you know, just to reflect what I'm hearing in your story, you're obviously been a Christian a long time. Mm-hmm. You're walking through these years as a Christian, and yes. God is, it sounds like you have a good picture. He's benevolent. Not everyone has a picture of him like that, obviously. But he's distant.
Right, yeah.
And then you're talking about something that happened in your 30s. I think we were talking earlier. I think it was around 2003.
Yes, 2003.
Mm-hmm. You started to encounter something of the Father that obviously that whole sense of God being distant and disengaged changed.
Yes, it did. At that point, I had been really encountering God's presence, but I would have called it the anointing or his presence, even the river at some times. But when I really came to know him as Father, I was just in a place where it was being taught about God as Father. And I listened to, it's very familiar these days, Barry Adams, The Father's Love Letter.
Oh, what a beautiful thing that is.
Oh my gosh, yes, because some of the words are, you're not a mistake. I created you. And, you know, as an adopted person, so much of the time, you know, your parents aren't married. And so there's this shame around that, like, you know, am I a bastard? Am I allowed into the congregation? That kind of thing. There's just that shame there.
Yeah.
And so those words just began to really minister to my heart, because that particular thing is a love letter. It's from God and it's all based on scripture.
Anna, those words that spoke to you, you're not a mistake.
Mm-hmm. You were born at exactly the right time that I planned for you. Planned you.
Right.
You're my child. All those things. Yeah.
Because what I'm hearing in it, like the whole tone of your voice changes when you started talking about that. And mm-hmm. It really seems to me that, you know, if we're thinking about a distant, benevolent God, mm-hmm. while those words are true, there's a difference here that they were specifically speaking to you and your heart and right into your own life.
Yes. When I was listening to that and some, you know, other just teachings and worship and that kind of thing, it was just a real encounter that I had with God. It felt like those words were going straight into my heart, like God was speaking to me.
Yeah.
And it was from his fatherliness, you know, that aspect of him that is Father. And I mean, we know he is Father, but he was like up close and personal to me at that moment.
Up close and personal. That sounds beautiful. You said he was speaking directly to me from his fatherliness.
Yes, yes.
That is beautiful, Nana.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and this is about your story, but I know myself when I came to the point where I realized I know the Son, I know the Holy Spirit, I do not know the Father.
Right.
That was in the 90s. But this realization, I know the Father's name, but I don't actually know him as a person. Mm-hmm. But this sounds very, what I love about what hearing your story, and it sounds very specific to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God's nature and character as Father. There's a fatherliness to him that's what's speaking to you, this person of the Godhead.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I really didn't know him as Father prior to this. I had really related to Jesus, and I still love Jesus, of course. Mm. And I had a good relationship with Jesus. But I did not know God is my Father I knew it in a concept kind of way, but yes. I didn't know it in a personal way. And yes. when that happened, that it changed my life, and it yes. really opened up my heart to be able to begin to be healed and to yes. really walk in my true identity as to who I really am.
Yeah, that's awesome. So use that term true identity. You know, one of the things in my membership that Anna, you're part of, the Finding Home Journey, we talk about revelation. Of course, we need revelation in our heart. But what really seems to change things on our end is realization. And realization for me is when I see it for myself.
Yes.
And it mm-hmm. seems like you saw something for yourself in those moments.
Yes. It's like it was revealed to my heart.
Yeah. That,
like my eyes were open, like my spiritual eyes were open to
yeah.
that.
And you talk a lot about identity, Anna, and rightly you should. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, what was that fatherly nature of God like that you were seeing? What was it saying to you about you? What was he saying to you about you?
Well, he knew me, for one mm-hmm. thing. He knew me. He created me. He loves me, and he was there for me. And like I could... From that moment, I can talk to the Father. I can talk to God as my Heavenly Father. And it was really saying that kind of relationship is available to all of us. Wow. And I think we don't always walk into it because we know Jesus and, you know, we think we don't need a relationship with the Father sometimes. But that relationship with him, when we know that we're his child and he is our father, that's close. You know, a father is someone who speaks life and identity over their child. They make plans for them. They're watching over them. They're nurturing them. And all of those aspects of God's nature really began to be available to me at that
yeah. point. I think that's such a good phrase. All of those aspects of God's nature began to be available to you.
Yes.
And this is your journey, Anna. And so, you know, there's a realization that this is now available to you. And you, before that moment, you didn't know that it was available to you.
Right, exactly.
Right. But it's less about knowing, but now you can see this. It's really clear, you know, that understanding is when love is poured into our heart, the eyes of our heart open, and we get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And what was great about you, because, you know, one of the big questions, I have quite a few friends that have been adopted, and I've walked with some of them through their adoptive journey, and there's always questions about their origin, always questions about were they wanted, were they loved, are they yeah. a mistake? Mm-hmm. And so a very good friend of mine, you know, just walked through that whole thing with him as a friend as mm-hmm. he discovered things. But, you know, there's those questions longing, like, who am I? Is there a place for me?
Yes.
Do I belong? And yet, it seems those questions resonate in all of us. It's just they're more pointed when, for those that have gone through that adoption process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What I'm excited about, Anna, when I hear you, because the Father comes to you in a way that in this moment your heart can receive it. And my question to you was, what did that say about you? And you used all these words. I want to just reflect them back to you. You realized you could be known in that moment.
Mm, yes.
You realized in that moment that you were created.
Mm.
It's one thing to hear those words. It's another thing to experience the truth of that when God is present. You experienced that you were lovable. Because mm-hmm. you were being loved in that moment, and yes. that he was there for you. I imagine that's a huge question for someone who's been adopted. Is there someone there for me?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this other thing, you can talk to him directly as father.
Yes. It's like he's, you know, there's that scripture where he says, I will be a father to you. So it's not like a concept of God distant in the sky, but he will actually be a father to us. And I think about that with, so I have a birth father, obviously, but he was not a father to me. My adopted father was a father to me. And I think that's part of what God is saying is he's not just a conceptual father, like he's technically the father creator, but he'll actually be a father to us, you know, and that
like involves an engaged father.
Engaged, yes, yep. Interactive. Yeah, yeah, he'll be interacting with us. So
yeah. And you know, when you said that you can talk to him directly, I was reminded of Ephesians 2:18. Because we have to think about the place of Jesus here, because lots of people struggle with that. And I think that the way I look at it is Jesus loves us so much. He loves his father so much. He wants to introduce us to his father. And he's really good at that. But Ephesians 2:18 says it so beautifully. Through him, it's in the context of talking about Jesus, through Jesus, we now have access to the Father by one Spirit. So in that statement, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all wrapped into this, but Jesus' intention is to give us access to the Father. And he actually does that technically, and literally, but to be technical, by the Holy Spirit. So that's exciting, Anna. And I mean, I think when we're together in Texas, we'll be exploring that some more.
Yes.
But I think, you know, as the emphasis of this conference is the beautiful overlay of healing and the Father's love, and that you seem to come into the Father's love and get healed, and as you get healed, you seem to come into more of the Father's love, and that's something that we carry together. But you also, knowing something about your story, as beautiful as that is, you also went through a phase of sort of experiencing pain in your journey as well. There was a phase of that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, so coming in to know God as a father was like the beginning. It's like it opened the door. And then, so I had a couple other really deep parts of my journey. One was when I really, I was in a place where I was learning about the nurturing, mothering heart of God. And how we're all created to be loved and nurtured, you know, by our mothers, and that we should, even in the womb and right from the womb, we should be loved and adored and attached to our birth mothers. And so, like I had said earlier, I had pushed all of that down, all of that pain down, but when I really encountered that nurturing mother heart of God, that it kind of like touched that pain, and it allowed me to acknowledge it and really let it out. And then the mother's love of God, because he has, you know, nurturing love as well. He has a love like a mother does as well. And so that allowed me to begin to acknowledge the pain and also to let it out. And then his love just came in an even deeper way. So
I think why your story sounds so beautiful, Anna, is because as we walk with God, even as his love pours into our heart, there is opportunity for us, for our hearts to be healed at a deeper level. But for many, you know, when pain's coming up, for many, it's like, what do I do with this? What's wrong with me? Like, I shouldn't be feeling this. I'm meant to feel amazing all the time. Or I'm a good Christian. Why am I feeling terrible? Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things I was taught as a young Christian, the truth will set you free, but first it'll make you miserable. So it just sounds amazing. But you know, if we think of your history, what you share with us, with pain, you used to shove it down.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people can identify with that.
Oh, yes. Because you don't know what to do with it, you know.
Don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, now you're describing something where you did know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds really beautiful. What happened?
Yes. So at that point, I was really, you know, I just was experiencing God's mother love, which is so just tender and beautiful. And, you know, there's a scripture that says he will sing over us. He'll rejoice over us with singing. It's like a mother. But then about a year later, I had what I call like my really amazing mountaintop life-changing experience. And I'd really like to share that because I think people will relate to it as well. So when I was going through some prayer ministry, and so I was really praying about, you know, where do all those feelings of I'm so different, I'll always be rejected, I don't belong, like what's the root of those? Why do I feel that way? Because those are
good questions, Anna, and very brave ones too.
Back when I was adopted, people thought that we don't remember what happens in the womb and that it can't affect us, or as an infant, even people, even doctors thought we don't remember that, it can't affect you. So I really didn't know, like, why do I feel so different? I had a good childhood and all of that. So in prayer, I was asking God that question, and I had like a picture of myself. I could see myself as a tiny baby in the womb, and I could hear just a lot of shouting, arguing, angry voices, just chaos. And I could see that as a tiny baby, I decided I'm the cause of all of this chaos.
Wow.
Yeah. And I should not be here. I don't even have a right to exist. So I should be really quiet. And so, and that was really, that's how I had lived growing up. So anyway, in this picture,
the reason I want to jump in is I think a lot of people I've worked with, I know in my own life, have experienced that. Obviously, just through our lives, when there's tension in the home, in our immaturity, in our youth, we can think, because we're so self-centered when we're little, we can think, because all this tension's here, that we're responsible for it. We're the reasons for it. I think many can relate to that. This sounds particularly powerful, though. So.
Yes, and so, but who knew? Like you can even make a decision in the womb, because I did. So I'm seeing all of this, and then I saw a picture of Jesus. And I could see his face, and his face is so loving and kind. And he is speaking to the tiny baby, to me as a tiny baby. And he said to me, "You have a right to exist because I created you. Wow. And I am so excited that you're being born." And so then suddenly I see myself as a baby in the arms of Jesus. He's holding me, and he's just like looking at me, and he's so delighted that I was born and that I exist. And though that, seeing that, like that's his truth coming into my heart.
Yes.
And just like you just said, the truth will make you free, will set you free. That truth set me free. That truth about my own identity set me free from a lot of those lies that I had believed and lived with. And so that really was a pivotal moment. And I understood at that time where a lot of those thoughts had come in. And you know, and then Jesus came in. He just spoke truth over me. He spoke life and love over me. And just knowing that, it freed me to be able to walk into who he really created me to be. It wasn't overnight. It's a process. You know, we're all on a journey. But
you receive something in there. You receive something in there, those moments that was really transformational. And I just want to reiterate, we tend to celebrate the moments where something happened, but there was obviously a long journey that got you there.
Yes.
We had this, what I would call a catalyst moment that seemed to change everything, and then there's still journey after that. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, and this is one of the things we're exploring in our membership, is in those moments, God reveals something of his nature to us, something of his character to us, something of his heart to us that we've never known before. And for you, Anna, it brought a truth about your identity that you could never see before, that you never knew before. But in that moment, it's like you really received something from him specific.
Yes.
Your identity. Yes. Something mm-hmm. like, this is who I am.
Yes, absolutely. But, I received my true identity.
Right.
I might not have understood the whole or been able to unpack it all at one time, but I received it in my heart. Yeah.
So I think it's a really good place for us to stop, Anna, that you received, your mind couldn't conceive all of it at the time. In fact, I would say that's an unfolding realization for you. Your mind's catching up to it so deep, but that question was answered in your heart. You know, imagine if that question was answered for everybody.
Yes.
What a different earth we would have. What a different Christianity we would have. Many of us have sort of been worn out by our Christian service and worn out by all our activities. But I just think it would be a really good place to finish, Anna, if you could pray for us.
Yes.
Thinking about what you received in that moment. You were with Jesus, spoke right to your identity. You know, I'm like, wow, that sounds so amazing. I would love to taste something of that for myself.
Yeah.
Could you just pray for us? You know, and thinking, of course, that, you know, we're going to be together again. Literally, at the end of September at the Canyon of Eagles there in Austin, Texas for walking with the heart of the Father, the symbiosis of healing and the Father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what it's led to you for Anna, you know, the goal is for us to be who we really are.
Yes.
And through this, we have the opportunity to enter into that together.
Yes.
So I'd love you to pray for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for every person listening to this, to the recording of this later. Lord, no time and distance is nothing for you. And I just thank you, Father, for just being right with every person, right where they're sitting, right where they're listening to this, that you're there. You are with them. Because you will be a father to us. And that's not distant. That is right there. Father, I just thank you for every person that they will come to know who you are and who they are. Who your character and nature that is loving and kind and fathering and mothering. Thank you, Father. Yeah, and I just feel that the Father is just like pouring his liquid love on people. I'm almost seeing him like with a teapot, and he is distributing his love and just handing it out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for every person that's listening to this, that they will know the truth that they are your child. that they are your beloved, not a mistake, child, that you have a purpose for every person, and that you created them to be amazing because we're created in your image and you're amazing. So I just thank you, Father, for the joy that comes with being with you, the healing that comes from knowing that you want to be with us. And I just thank you for that for every person listening. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you for doing this. It's a kind of a different from our usual podcast, but I think it was really good. I think that people will really benefit from listening to this. Thank you to everybody that is watching and listening. And you can find out more information about the retreat at definedbygod.com/events/retreat. It's on the screen if you're watching the video. And we would love to see you there. It's going to be a life-transforming time. So hope to see you there. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.